This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by CruiserMax Vibrant Cereal Seed Treatment for longer-lasting disease and insect protection for wheat and barley seeds, young seedlings, and roots.
Kind of a weird day. Beans got some good news, but just decided to go all Monday on us and refused to move higher. That held back buying in the rest of the grain markets. And hogs, if you're looking for a real Monday attitude, look right at the hogs with some limit-down contracts.
USA via Farm Journal broadcast. This is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Dan Huber from the Huber Report. In the final segment, Kerry Artak serves up his Monday Artak attack. And right after the news, Jack Scovel from the Price Futures Group checks in. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
Davis Michelson back in the house.
I'm playing my walkout music again, baby. In case you missed it this morning, yes. I'm feeling much better. More handsome than ever.
Well, you know, we can no longer say, oh, you've got gall.
That's right. That's right. I am less
the gall of you, Davis.
I am less one bladder in my
yes.
life.
Yes. But you know maybe we could go like all Hogwarts potions class.
Is that what you want to do? You want to go
and say, add one gall of Davis Michelson.
You know, I've actually, if we've got time, I've got a quick window into actually what went on at Sparkle City General.
Doctor, your next patient is ready.
Yes.
It's
yes.
The handsome newsman.
Handsome, yes. I've never seen such an enlarged sas gland.
Yes, doctor.
Let's get him 200 units, AgriTalk stat. Start a nonsense drip.
Yes, doctor.
Now he'll be more handsome than ever, nurse.
Good work, doctor. AgriTalk.
And that's pretty much how it went. That was my
experience. I am so glad that while you were there, you thought to roll tape on the conversation around you.
Yes, yes. It was a lucky thing. I had my phone in my pocket.
Right.
And I just happened to catch just a little bit of audio. Dramatic. Dramatic footage.
It's fantastic. It feels like I was there.
The good folks at Sparkle City General, I owe them a debt of gratitude.
Wow.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
For sure.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Dude, let's get to what moved the markets, okay?
Well, Chip, wheat export inspections in the weekend of October 3 totaled just over 385,000 metric tons. That was just under trade expectations. Wheat traders will be paying close attention to USDA's crop progress report and spring wheat harvest. Conditions are not supporting much harvest activity right now, and odds are rising that an end-of-the-week storm will make for even worse harvest conditions. This is being weighed against estimates of Russia's wheat crop. The latest estimate is 75.8 million metric tons, up from USDA's most recent crop peg of 72.5 million tons. December hard red futures were 1¾ cents lower at 4.02¼. December soft red futures slipped a penny and a quarter to close at 4.89¼. December spring wheat up 2½, 5.38½, Chip.
Yeah, the competition out of the Black Sea, it's the same story. Third verse, fourth verse, fifth verse, whatever. It's going to be the same, and it's going to be around for quite some time. Every time it feels like we're starting to get a foothold, which we started to last week, Davis.
Okay.
Believe it or not, I don't know if you know this or not, but China bought like 130,000 metric tons of white winter wheat from the U.S. last week.
That's good.
Yeah, that was excellent, and the market refused to go up on that. I think the reason the market refused to go up last week is because every time we take a step forward,
right,
the competing countries pull us back, and I think that's happening right now.
Well, corn export inspections in the weekend at October 3 of nearly 467,000 metric tons were below trade expectations, putting the corn market on the defensive early in the session. Traders are beginning to square positions ahead of Thursday's crop production and supply and demand reports from USDA. A poll by Reuters puts the average trade guess for the national average corn yield at 167.5 bushels per acre, down 7/10 from last month. The average trade guess on the corn crop, Chip, is 13.6 8.4 billion bushels, down just 115 million bushels from USDA's September estimate. December corn futures 2.25 cents higher, 3.87. March corn up 2 cents, 3.99. May corn closed at 4.04 and a half. Chip, that's up 2 cents today.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we keep talking about, well, the corn is surprisingly good that we're seeing so far. It's only off 15, 20, 25 bushels from last year. But the corn that we've seen so far was all the earliest planted stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What happens when we get into the June corn? There's going to be some good June planted corn. I know that. Mm-hmm. But going to be some real icky stuff, too.
Soybean export inspections of 1.04 million metric tons were in line with trade expectations. The Reuters survey of traders ahead of Thursday's reports generated an average guess of 47.3 bushels per acre for the bean yield and a crop estimate of 3.583 billion bushels. That yield would be down 0.6 of a bushel, with the crop down 50 million bushels from last month's estimate. Traders note that trade talks between the U.S. and China seem to be moving toward a mini deal for agriculture, although there is still uncertainty. The Trump White House would be willing to make a deal that does not include issues like copyrights and intellectual property. November bean futures a penny lower, 9.15 and a quarter. Jan beans slipped 0.75 cents to 9.29 and a half. March beans 9.40 and a half today. That's down 0.25 cents.
You know, it kind of felt like a failure to go up on good news in here too. Yeah. USDA reported export sales 198,000 metric tons of beans to China, and another 240,000 tons to unknown destinations for delivery in the current marketing year. And this bean market just kind of refused to go up. Like hogs, which we will talk about at the start of the next segment, beans were kind of exhibiting a case of the Mondays in here. So let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Jack, I was surprised that beans were as reluctant to move to the upside as they were today. What did you see happening?
Well, it just seemed, I was surprised too. I thought we'd perform a little better. We had those good sales, and we have some cold weather coming. We have the USDA reports coming, but it just seems like nobody's really too anxious to go step out in front of this thing before we start looking at some numbers here this weekend. And as a result, we just kind of stuck in the range here for a few minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Corn, on the other hand, it felt like if we could have shrugged off beans, corn felt like it could have moved fairly easily to the upside. Is that because of the weather forecast that we're staring down right now?
I think so. I think there's a lot of ideas that we'll see some corn damage here, and I don't know why we wouldn't see some bean damage. The beans are just turning color in a lot of places, and they got a good chance to be nicked as well, but market preferred to concentrate on corn, and it's been both trends are still kind of up, but it was surprising that beans couldn't do a little better than they did today.
Yeah, yeah. What are you hearing from your friends down in South America, Jack? As far as the dry areas, did we see any relief?
Not really. They're still dry, and at least in central and northern parts, some of the northwestern areas have gotten some rain, and then far south has gotten some rain as well. So that's been good, but the characterization I got last night from one of my clients was that the situation really is not good right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's something that could be it could be trying to pry its way into the spotlight for this bean market by the time we get to the end of the week. Who knows? Jack, thanks. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds great.
All right, that is Jack Scoville with the Price Futures Group. When we come back, we're going to get to the livestock news with Davis Michelson, and then we will turn it over and have a conversation with Dan Huber from the Huber Report right here on AgriTalk. We're talking with Josh Kelly, seed care product lead for Syngenta. Josh, how does CruiserMax Vibrant Cereal Seed Treatment differ from the competition?
Great you ask. So I think there's two main differences that we want to call out when you're thinking about CruiserMax Vibrant Cereals. One being the rooting power that you get from Vibrance, and the Cruiser Vigor effect that you get from the insecticide component of the mixture. So I'll talk to the Vibrance rooting power. So more and more research is pointing out that how important root health is to the overall crop productivity, and really what we feel like Sodexane, the active ingredient in Vibrance, really brings to the table is healthier roots actually allow for better moisture uptake, better nutrient uptake. That actually we feel like obviously boost cereal plants' rooting power, which should lead to optimized crop performance and really allows the grower to maximize their yield potential on that acre. Additionally, with the Cruiser Vigor effect, you get the added benefit in this formulation of a fungicide and an insecticide, that insecticide component being Cruiser 5FS, which provides protection against key insects such as aphids, wireworms, even in certain geographies. And you get the Cruiser Vigor effect, which should lead to our data would show that you get increased germination along with the insect protection, all in one easy-to-use premix formulation.
You know, the root health, that's what this Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals is all about, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, with the Sedexane component, along with the other fungicides that we have in the mixture, you're getting a halo of protection around that cereal seed. Vibrance, again, with the rooting power, you're getting protection against Rhizoctonia. With our other components being, you know, Maxim and Difenoconazole, you're getting added protection for Pythium, your butts and smuts, and really the total disease spectrum that one might find in their field, you're getting that protection with Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals.
That's so cool. Thank you, Josh. That is Josh Kelly, Seed Care Product Lead for Syngenta.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah. That's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. Yes. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with ProFarmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019 in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
AgriTalk.
It sounds like you must have got the whole chorus together.
Yes, the AgriTalk Theater Company was involved in my rehabilitation.
Is that what it is?
That's what it was, yep. They and the Men of Song as well were there.
Okay.
It's it was, you know, it was actually a little bit hard to rest with all that going on. A lot of me type, you know, you can't sleep with that.
No.
You just can't.
I'll bet it was. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. That is Davis Michelson. We did not get to the livestock news in the opening segment. Let's go ahead and do that.
Well, Chip, cash cattle bids last week $1 to $5 higher. That provided some support for nearby futures today. October cattle were up 90 cents at 108.25. December cattle futures gained 42.5 cents, 111.20 there. October feeders down 27.5 cents to 141.70. And on the snout side, hog slaughter hit 2.669 million head last week. That started the market under pressure. A drop through support at the 50-day moving average accelerated selling pressure, sending the market sharply lower today. October hogs at buck 90 lower at 60.50, and December hogs fell the $3 daily limit to 64.25. Yikes, Chip.
Yeah, it's tough. That means that we'll have some expanded limits, and there is gap support just underneath current levels in that December contract.
Yeah.
Well, what if we gap through the gap support?
Oh, geez.
On follow-through selling. Now you got a mess. Now you start calling the lean hog chart Swiss cheese because it's so full of holes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a market that could really kind of start to feed it. Well, let's bring in Dan Huber, the Huber Report. He covers the livestock markets. Dan, how you doing?
I'm very well. Well, that wasn't until a moment ago that I heard you talking about the hog market here. Man, you're a depressing kind of guy.
He's suggesting a double gap on expanded limits, Jackson.
Yeah, talk about the glass half empty. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Okay, well, then you tell me. What do you think of this hog market, Dan?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to lie to you. It's hard to find something to say good about the hog market here at this point in time. I mean, you know, not only are we turning down, and, you know, we've certainly never been able to capitalize on, you know, what's happened to the rest of the world with the African swine. And it is, you know, we're at that time of the year where you certainly don't look at any kind of a resurgence in meat demand. I guess, granted, pork is pretty competitively priced, but boy, you get the fall months here, that's not a big pork consumption time of the year. We know the numbers are there, and, you know, and as Davis just commented, the slaughter last week was huge. So yeah, it's tough to say anything other than, you know, maybe a return trip down to that 59-60 cent area in the December hogs. But you know, granted, we'd even quit consuming hogs, but in the same token, right. Boy, it's just been an uphill battle all year long in this market. So
yeah, you know, it has been an uphill battle. There is no question about it. But when we start talking about hog slaughter at 2.6, just call it 2.67 million head. That's a lot for the market to absorb in here, Dan. That's the number one thing for us to understand. Number two, if we could hold up in this, you know, support in this $62 to $64 area in the Dease contract, with that kind of a slaughter pace, I'd be pretty impressed with it.
Oh, sure. You know, and of course, one other element we need to throw in there as well, and granted, harvest is off to a slow start here, but we all in the livestock industry know what happens when you start getting new corn into hog rations. I mean, they start putting the gains improve, and you know, you're just going to put that much more tonnage on the market in a rapid period of time. So, yeah, boy, say for the next 30, 45 days, it's pretty difficult to find much positive to say about the hog trade here.
Right. Okay. How's the weather over
here?
So
you're not alone in your bearish talk. Weather, it's, you know, we actually, the sun is shining here today. You know, we've probably been close to 48 hours without rain. So it's, you know, the lakes are starting to recede just a little bit. And, you know, I had commented earlier that it was, you know, every morning when I come out here, there's pairs of animals lined up outside my house. I don't know if there's any sign in that or not.
Dan's there in northern Illinois, Sycamore, Illinois. He told me in an email earlier today that he would be phoning in from Lake Sycamore. So
exactly. It used to be formerly the city of Sycamore.
Right. Yeah. Good grief. Something that everybody's dealing with, though.
Oh, exactly. You know, and And, you know, not, of course, maybe too. Well, you know, maybe this is what it was in the spring. It's just that you've got the fields are covered with a certain amount of plants out there right now. You can't really necessarily see all the standing water. But, you know, boy, driving home last Friday, and, of course, then we rained pretty well through Saturday evening. But driving home last week, I was pretty stunned at the amount of raw water running through ditches and waterways and, you know, out in the areas of the fields you could see. So it's going to be a very slow start to harvest. And, of course, now, I mean, not that we're in this band, but, boy, it sounds like there could be a relatively heavy snows in a lot of areas, you know, particularly west and north as we get into this weekend here. So, boy, this could be a challenging harvest season. So,
There are some areas there based on some of the forecast maps, and these are early projections or estimates, of course. But for Wednesday through Sunday – as far as snowfall goes, that you get up into the Grand Forks area, they could be looking at as much as 20 inches of snow. And there's a widespread area that's going to see a foot of snow is what it sounds like. This is something that we definitely don't need up there. I don't know, Dan. When I was talking to Jack about it, I kept waiting for him and he did hint that the market really isn't paying enough attention to what could be some problems out there, especially with corn. Do we wait until it actually happens? Is that what the story is?
Well, you know, I guess there is maybe a little bit of a show-me attitude there. It's, you know, we'll believe it when we see it. You know, and I guess we've weathered a lot of, no pun intended, but weathered a lot of other circumstances this year that you would have thought would have been brought a greater market reaction. But, you know, I probably as much as anything, there are so many things. You know, be it on top of weather, you know, we have the Chinese situation. We don't know what's going to go on there. We have a lot of concerns about what the world economy is doing. We continue to battle a strong dollar, you know, so all these things that I think have got us in a bit of a transition period. And it is that time of the year where, you know, we start slowly, you know, we've got a pretty good recognition of what the crop is out there, although we know there's going to be some adjustments in that yet as well. And then we start looking at demand. And, boy, you know, the corn market especially, you know, there's not much to cheer about on that demand side right now. So it's, you know, and that could be our tempering factor that's really keeping people from wholeheartedly exiting the short side of the corn market and start looking at what we could do to the upside here yet. So, and, you know, you've got carry in the market, you know, so you've got a pretty good premium all the way out to the summer months already. So it's not that we haven't tried to reflect part of that in there as well.
Right. So the other thing that the market might be a little focused on right now is those big reports that we've got coming on Thursday, right?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. Yeah. So it's, and again, we know the USDA is certainly not shy about giving us shocking numbers at times. You know, even on the grain stocks report, you know, nobody anticipated the changes there. And there's a few things that I ultimately think it's probably going to come back. You know, we won't know this at least until January. They're going to come back and maybe reduce last year's crop because the feed usage quarter to quarter just doesn't seem to add up in there.
Right.
So maybe it was a situation of an overstated crop. But, you know, I think the big elements this time around are they really going to come in and make some kind of adjustment? I don't think it'll happen on planted acreage, but are they going to make a bigger cut on that harvested acreage than people are anticipating? And, you know, there's where it certainly could be an element of surprise out there. That's, you know, hard to anticipate.
Yep. Pro Farmer, when we wrapped up the crop tour back in August, we put it at 163.3.
Sure.
People have been asking, you still all the way down at 163.3? My answer is, yeah, I haven't seen anything to really change my mind yet.
Right.
Are we too low, Dan?
No, I wouldn't necessarily say so. You know, and again, granted, yes, we know everybody's up in the 167 range, but, you know, I also follow Dr. Cordonnier, and he's down towards those lower levels as well. And I think that's, I don't think that's unrealistic. So it's, and granted, if they gave that to us all here in the month of October, boy, it would change the complexion of this market pretty dramatically.
Oh my goodness, yes. If they would come with that here in October, I think it would. I think I would be a little concerned if they just say a 167.5, the average trade guess. If it comes in at that, it would have me thinking, okay, Farmers have spoken once, twice. This is the third time that farmers have spoken with the survey numbers. And if they're still at 167.5, then the 163.3 would start feeling pretty light. Now, if we can get all the way down into that, even a 66.5 or a 66 would really make me feel like that 163.3 could eventually come into play. You know what? We'll cover the same issues on soybeans next. Okay, Dan?
Very good.
And then we will get into, we got some time before those reports come out, what should we be doing to prepare on the risk management side?
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Economist Dan Bott is back with us. Dan, what's the market move that matters most today, bud?
Hey, Jeff, I'm looking at December corn futures today. After last spring's severe planting problems sent corn futures higher, much improved summer weather undercut the market, as indicated by the December contracts dropped to a September 9th low around 352. Prices worked modestly higher from that point and formed a head and shoulders bottom in the process. Last Monday's supportive stocks figure then sparked a strong bullish move, with last Tuesday's advance filling the August 13th chart gap. It's since formed what looks like an overly extended flag on a putative black bull flag formation. The lack of a bullish follow-through to this point suggests it's not going to happen, whereas filling the chart gap suggests more consolidation is forthcoming. We may now see a short-term retest of support in the 370 to 75 area.
All right, good stuff, Dan. Thank you so much. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Bott. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America. And
then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. Appreciate it very much. Because Davis is back.
True statement, my friend. True statement.
All right. And we are talking to Dan Huber from the Huber Report today. But before we get back to that, let's go ahead and, Davis, recap how the markets closed today.
Well, Chip, December hard red futures were 1¾ cents lower at 4.02¼. December soft red futures slipped a penny and a quarter to close at 4.89¼. December corn futures 2¼ cents higher, 3.87. March corn up 2 cents, 3.99. November bean futures were a penny lower, 9.15¼. January beans fell 0.75 cents to 9.29½. October cattle up 90 cents, 108.25. October feeders down 27½, 141.70. And October hogs at $1.90 lower at 60.50. That's your quick market recap. Back to you, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. We're talking to Dan Huber from the Huber Report. Give us a call, guys. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. And when you do, be sure to include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. Dan, we've got Dean from Minnesota on the line. Let's go ahead and get him in here for a second. If we can put Bill back on hold and get Dean up here, that would be great. There we go. Dean, how you doing, buddy?
Well, it's kind of a beautiful, sunshiny day after 5 inches of rain last week.
Yeah, it's about time, isn't it?
I see I'm hauling some beans down to Fairmont, cleaning out a bin here, my old crop beans here, and I see a few guys are trying to combine beans, but they're seeing a lot of deep tracks out in the field, too. Yeah. So, I mean, we got a lot of water, and I don't know. It's just going to be a long, drug-out affair. It's a problem trying to get it in the ground. Now it's going to be a really big problem to try to take it out. And because of what you just talking a few minutes ago, talking about this wonderful four-weather word nobody wants to hear about and to drag it all along in that snow.
Right, exactly. You're going to be right on the edge of the area that could get some snow at the end of this week.
We're only supposed to maybe get a trace, maybe a couple inches, but you get far north about Alexandria, might be get a foot, and like you just said, farther north, it depends on how it tracks. And, you know, you're talking about the yield here, Chip. You know, there's one thing that's going to be a problem trying to pick some of this corn, and I know you might have highlighted on some of it before, but, you know, we get all this rain, you know, some of these stalks are starting to dry down. You know, there's some of these fields that got stalk rot in here, and some of these guys better get on the combine. I mean, like I said, the weather, field conditions ain't cooperating very good, but some of this corn may go down, and you never get a pick back up. And some guys have picked some corn, and the yields ain't there. That middle planted May corn has been coming in about to 150, and some of that later corn, some of the guys planting, only made 100. So, I mean, your yield trend, I think it's going to be a lot lower than what you got, the way anybody's got predicted, the way I got a fine feeling, because you look at these corns, they're already starting to get small ears on them now, and I don't think the yield's going to be there.
Yeah, all right. You know, Dan, you mentioned that maybe we overstated the 2018 corn crop, and that's one of the reasons that we had the September 1 quarterly grain stocks come in as low as it did. It's the weather that we had during harvest last year that could, you know, we left bushels in the field last year, didn't we, Dan?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that was just a miserable harvest to get out. And, you know, I mean, and you would think even more so with beans. I mean, gosh, there were so many beans that were, you know, harvested well after the corn was done. So, you know, unfortunately, I mean, just with what's being said here, you know, we may be wishing for a big hard freeze, you know, so guys can get out in the field and start doing some things.
Exactly. So. Dean, are you seeing any of the beans up there still holding on to leaves, still got a little bit of color to them, but the pods are all ripe?
Yeah, see, we combined some last week. We combined about 60 acres. I mean, I shouldn't say last week, the week before, I guess. The stems were green, but yet the beans were 13% moisture. I mean, it's just unbelievable how them beans are. But the guys that sprayed fungicide on in the later planted beans are still got some leaves on them and some tint to them and a little bit of green in there. But the guys that planted them beans early were combining some. I mean, we were combining some that were making, they were hailed on, you know, when that first storm come through in July or June, late June that was. They're only making about 47, but some guys I had are up to 50 to 60. But, you know, them were early planted beans, but these late planted beans, I think they're going to, if you hit 45, I think you're going to be right on the right there. I mean, but
gotcha.
You know, these beans really shrink down now after late. I mean, they were really bushy, but the beans are also small round, so, I mean, it's going to take a lot of beans to get 60 bushel beans. But
gotcha.
That's my theory, so I'll leave it go, and I'll enjoy the show. And there's one thing I want to say. Guys, please be safe out there.
Yeah, good on you, Dean. That's a good one right there.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, that's Dean up in the 507 giving us a holler, and shout out to everybody to be safe. Dan, the bean question, Pro Farmer was at 46.1 following crop tour. I wouldn't expect a move all the way down to 46.1 on Thursday, but I definitely expect USDA to continue the trend that they've shown us on bean yield and pull the thing down.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think it's, yes, you would think it'd be incremental, that each month they'll maybe carry just a little bit lower. So, here again, too, those numbers were a surprise on that grain stocks number, which would, kind of tend to make you think we maybe overestimated last year's crops a little bit. And agree, yes, it could have been harvest related, but it also could have been we've built in a little bit too much optimism what these trend line yields are and how much we can run above them. And yes, just like corn, I can't imagine we're not going to be lower this month, and come January, I can't imagine we'll lower again.
Right. There's a lot of focus on the supply side going into this report, mm-hmm. but it's all got to funnel down to the carryovers for the 2019-20 marketing year, which means at some point we're going to have to refocus on demand for the 19 crop, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. And again, granted, the Chinese, or the questions about the Chinese situation, leaves everybody in a bit of a state of limbo. And sure, it'd be great if we did have some kind of resolution on trade packages. For at least from what I can gather, it's not going to be a full blown trade agreement. Even if we are fortunate to hear of something this week, but it sounds like there could be some incremental packages that are out there. So, granted, China is not going to be quite the buyer they will have been for the last few years with the issues they've had with disease there. But same, if we can start to recapture part of that business again, you even look at it right now. I mean, our export shipments for the marketing year to date are outstripping last year's. And granted, last year's were poor. I mean, maybe we set a low bar there. But just those things, when you consider a 900 million carryout this last year and even a 400 and some million carryout a year from now, it's not like we're at a tight supply of beans, yet we're seeing this bean market rally. And I think that's exactly what demand will do for us, is kind of lift us out of these depressed areas we thought we were going to be stuck with for some time.
Yeah. I always lose track of that. I do, Dan. I'm not afraid to admit it either. But when it's not only the trend in demand as it compares to a year ago, but it's just the direction of carryover. You can be at a like you just said, a relatively high carryover level. I'm projecting a relatively high carryover, but if it's down year to year, you can't. It's easy for the market to generate some upside momentum in a situation like that.
Right. We tend to forget markets. I mean, part of the job of the markets, taking all this news and kind of kneading it into the dough. And when you start changing those ingredients, you need to kind of change the price structure along with it as well. So.
Yep. All right. Anything that we need to do between now and the USDA reports on Thursday?
Well, I guess I think not. Granted, I think a lot of these markets, corn, beans, both, I mean, we're up into we've been up 30 days. I mean, you've got corn up about 11%. We have trains coming by as well. But corn up about 11% in the last month. You've got beans up 8%. A little bit overbought. So we're going to need something positive from the USDA to extend the move. That said, unless you have some immediate cash flow needs between now and the first of the year, let's say, certainly, maybe reward whatever rally we have here to address that. And of course, don't forget to add Chip's Christmas present with that cash flow need. I think this longer term picture is looking a little more solid. So, I don't see any urgency to step up and have to get aggressive on sales at this point in time. Like I say, unless you know you need to have some money here between now and the end of the year.
Okay. All right. Well, and I appreciate your thoughts there.
Oh, of course.
I really, it's nice that you're reminding them.
Thank you ahead for these things.
That's right. Okay. It's a big week with the reports on the supply side and on the demand side. with the S&Ds. But by the time we get to the close on Friday, what do you think the markets, corn, soybeans, any markets, are going to be most focused on? Trade, South America, U.S. weather, what?
You know, I guess I'm going to, and I don't think this is going out on a limb, I still think they're probably going to be, the report's going to be history by Friday in the close. China is going to be very fresh in the news at that point in time. And then I think as soon as we finish up with China, by the first of the week, then we're focusing on South America weather again. So.
South American weather, yeah. Yeah. More and more, just in emails back and forth with people, Brazilian weather is coming up more and more often, and it. I think that is something that by the time we get, at least by the time we get to the 16th, 17th of October, it is going to be in full focus, because we'll be a month into bean plantings down in Brazil.
Oh, right, right.
And then we will start to get a good idea of just how much has there been a delay. We're going to start wondering, can we get this bean crop planted in time to get it out in time to get a Safrina corn crop planted next year? So,
well exactly. And again, we already know it's going to be well behind this last year, which, you know, that's what it took to put big crops out down there.
There you go. That's exactly right. It's always fun to talk with you, Dan. Appreciate it.
Likewise. Yep, thank you.
All right, that is Dan Huber with the Huber Report. It's time to get out your chart books, everybody. We've got Kerry Artak from the Artak Advisory up next on AgriTalk.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More choices, more money. That's the advantage of the new Bayer Plus Rewards. Choose from our broad portfolio of high-performance products. Earn more money on the eligible products that are right for your farm. And best of all, use our new portal to see your purchases, track your rewards, and decide how you want to use them. That's how we're putting more control in your hands. That's the plus. Sign in and earn big with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com to sign up today. See program terms and conditions for full details.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
The truth is hard to come by these days unless you listen to AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. Hey, on the China issue, Davis.
Yes. Yes.
Just got this message from Wiesmeyer.
Oh, okay.
Because it's all about whether or not it's going to be a mini package on agriculture,
right,
and maybe a few other things, or if President Trump would be more willing to, and if he would be more willing to go toward that mini package, or if he's committed to sticking with the big package, and which would include the copyright issues, the technology transfer issues, stuff like that. Jim just said focus almost exclusively on Lighthizer.
Okay.
You'll be able to tell what is going on by focusing on what U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer is commenting on regarding this issue.
Well, a mini deal would be fantastic because I feel like it would kind of get the ag world going a little bit, which is what we desperately need. But if we're going to just sort of leave out things like intellectual property, copyright, these sorts of things, I feel like those will never get addressed.
Well,
and then this was all for nothing.
And if they are, we cannot forget that the U.S. didn't choose for tariffs on U.S. soybeans going into China. That was China's retaliatory move.
Yep.
Okay. So if we do have to go back and address the bigger scale issues or those other issues, would China retaliate again?
And would we even have the leverage to juice a renegotiation?
Exactly. Carrie Artak, Artak Advisory, is back with us today. Carrie, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chip. How are you?
Good. You know, we talk about all these fundamentals, and then you guys come sweeping in with your chart analysis and just kind of blow all that stuff away and say, hey, here's what the charts say,
which sometimes
brings a lot of clarity to what's going on. So let's get it going. What's going on in D's Corn?
D's Corn, you know, as you probably recall, a month ago, we tested long-term support at 353.5. And following the test, I do maintain a 427 even 2 to 3 month upside target. Inside that wide range, 367 even below the market can contain weekly selling pressures, and 398.25 above can contain weekly buying pressures. A weekly settlement Friday above 398.25 should yield that 427 even 2 to 3 month objective in as little as 3 to 5 weeks, where the broader corn market can top out through winter. Now, downside closing the week Friday below 367 even indicates a retest next week, 353 half long-term support, where the broader corn market can bottom out through next year, and above which a stable to even bullish dynamic continues over the longer haul. On to December wheat. A broader wheat market remains constructive into later year above 452 even, expecting 536 even over the next several months. And inside of this wide range, 482 and three quarter can contain weekly selling pressures, and 507 and three quarter weekly buying pressures. A weekly settlement Friday above 507 and three quarter should yield that 536 even target within as little as 2 to 3 weeks, where the broader wheat market can top out through winter. Now, downside, a weekly settlement Friday below 482 and three quarter would indicate a test within 1 to 2 weeks of that 452 even long-term support level, where, as I mentioned a moment ago, the broader wheat futures market remain constructive into later year, expecting 536 even over that time horizon. And finally, December lean hogs. We had a nice sell-off today, and if we close Friday below 66 and a quarter, which does look likely following today's weakness, that should result in a test over the next several weeks of 57 and a quarter long-term support. 57 and a quarter long-term support able to contain selling well into next year, and above which this market actually maintains a stabilizing trend following the big sell-off from last April to the August low. On the other hand, and certainly not expected anytime soon, a weekly settlement below 57 and a quarter would set off secondary selling pressures into later year, then expecting a retest of the 2016 40-70 low over the following several months. Upside, a settlement Friday above 66 and a quarter would stabilize the dynamic into later October. I would then expect 76.80 over the next 3 to 5 weeks, where the December contract can top out into expiration, as well as being a meaningful upside continuation point into later winter. But we're stable to bullish long-term above 57 and a quarter. It's just that I'm expecting a test over the next several weeks as long as we continue trading below 66 and a quarter. And that's really all I got, Chip.
Excellent. Good stuff, Kerry. Thank you so much. Guys, don't forget, Kerry has a two-week free trial waiting for you at artacadvisory.com. And just go to the site there, and he'll get you signed up and getting his info for the next couple of weeks. National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook was updated during the last break, Davis.
Okay.
This is for October 13th through the 17th. We've
and
got...
This is weather on the fly, in other words, you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You're just piecing this together recently?
I think that's right.
Fair enough.
I think that's right. October 13th through the 17th, below normal temperatures across the Corn Belt. All right. Okay. There it is. Precipitation is normal forecast for the Eastern Belt, mostly below normal for the Western Belt, up into South Dakota. But you've got an area in Minnesota, Wisconsin that is looking for above normal precipitation.
Okay.
So it's mostly normal to above normal, I'm sorry, normal to below normal precipitation for October 13th through the 17th in the central, north to south, central Corn Belt. Okay. Now,
okay.
8 to 14 day, I think I got time for it.
Sure,
yeah,
do.
I do. Real quick, 8 to 14 day. Real quick, the above normal temperatures are pushing back into the southeast Corn Belt, so we've got normal to above normal precipitation in the central to eastern belt, below normal in the northwest, and we've got above normal precipitation expected across most of the Corn Belt. That is October 15th through the 21st. I've been waiting to say this for so long.
Woo-hoo!
Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Biloxi Towels. While luxurious and absorbent, left outside, Biloxi Towels will fail to live up to their potential. And now today's tweets. This comes from at AgDweeb. Rain during cotton picking season. Cotton can absorb 27 times its weight in water. This is great when you need a towel after a shower. This is horrible when that towel is still in the field.
Yes.
At Phoenix One, if pro is the opposite of con, then what is the opposite of progress? Congress, he
Got
says.
It.
And at Corn Fervor, well, we're making dust again. 3 days and more rain, maybe snow. Is 2019 over yet? Chip, back to you.
No, 2019 is not over yet, I'm afraid. Thanks, Davis. Come back tomorrow. We've got RCAP President Bill Bowler tomorrow morning.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmers Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit TryProFarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit TryProFarmer.com right now. That's TryProFarmer.com.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com. Thanks to Syngenta, producers of Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereal Seed Treatment, for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about reserving your supply for 2020. Always read and follow label instructions.